the United States would not exist but for the critical financial assistance provided by the Dutch at the time of our founding as a nation. They responded favorably to the pleas of none other than John Adams at a time when no one else would lend us money to create this country.
Daniel Yeh, a professor of civil and environmental engineering at USF, said whether or not one wants to believe it, climate change is occurring.
Evaporation goes up, precipitation can increase, hurricane strength can increase. You're going to say, wait a minute. We just went through one of the worst winters. You know, anybody who has traveled outside of Florida has been stuck in snow at some point. How can there be global warming in the face of all these massive snowstorms, right? The fact is, 2010 was the warmest year on record. This is not model projection. These are measurements. And these are the Earth's average temperature over the past many years.
Yeh said as the ocean creeps further inland, some of its impacts will be irreversible.
Coastal areas are increasingly at risk from sea level rise and storm surge. Right? And there's going to be a risk to human health and social and environmental stressors. You know, climate change may not be a reversible process in that, hey, let's say we're able to just magically overnight bring our carbon dioxide levels down and that everything will go back to the way it was pre-industrial revolution. It may not. You know, some of the polar ice caps took millions and billions of years to form. They may not freeze back in the same way.
Keynote speaker Steven Seibert said, much like the Dutch, Floridians may have to adapt to altered landscapes instead of the typical response of rebuilding.
Typically, our goal is to recover what we have lost, to rebuild as before. But that should not be our only option. Resiliency means being open to new models, to entirely new ways of thinking. The formation of Tampa Bay Water, for example, was totally unanticipated at the beginning of the negotiations on how to solve the Tampa Bay Water Wars. We initially intended to tinker with the existing organization, which was a loosely knit water supply authority, which had limited power and limited capacity to solve really difficult issues.
The annual event is called Resilient Tampa Bay. Seibert said resiliency is a key component to self-governance.
If we are to sustain this form of government at all levels, we must think and act longer term. We must consider what it will take to provide those who follow us with as good or better than what we have.
Tampa Bay is, of course, extremely vulnerable to flooding after storms. As sea levels continue to rise, many scientists expect flooding to get more frequent and more intense. Impacts from storm surge would be even more devastating for the coastal areas where most Floridians dwell. It's a scenario the Dutch know well. More than half that country either exists below sea level or is in a spot extremely vulnerable to flooding. Dutch urban planner William Verbeek is a fellow with the Flood Resilience Group.
Call the Netherlands the drain of Europe, really. We are in a delta area. What is worse is that we live basically in a bathtub, our famous polders. We have a very inhabited delta, 60 million people live there, very densely populated.
He said the country also has to contend with two major rivers and the North Sea. He said after years of dealing with floods, the Netherlands came up with a strategy that's become iconic over the years.
We have an extensive and very elaborative network of flood risk measures, our famous dike rings. And up to 1953, was already mentioned, our flooding policy, although the Netherlands was already very much a man-made country, we saw that basically as an act of God.
Verbeek said constructing dams, dikes, and canals aren't the only way to fight rising waters. He said adaptation strategies include things like floating homes and recreation areas that double as stormwater storage sites. The country's Room for the River project is deepening floodplains, removing barriers, and creating bypasses to deal with floodwater in an especially prone area.
And this was really, for us, something new. Instead of raising our dikes continuously, increasing our defenses, we thought, okay, maybe we should give nature more space. And And we designed 39 projects all along our main rivers to give more space to that river.
The question is whether political, economic, and social dynamics would leave any room for urban planners in the Sunshine State to apply such concepts. During a panel discussion, Mark House, Tampa Managing Director with the developer Beck Group, said it's possible, though economic conditions would have to be right. The Netherlands Room for the River project is costing an estimated 2.2 billion euro, the equivalent of about 3 billion U.S. dollars.
I absolutely think there are rooms for us to adapt things. You've seen the green movement, and it's been become very aware in the last, really in the last 5 or 6 years. Unfortunately, the economy has dampened a lot of that movement. That's really affected things. But the flip side of it is that we've learned that it is economical to build green, and it's actually cost less money in the long run to have a green, sustainable development.